Welcome to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and empowers you to return to your core beliefs to make your life better. If you're ready to hear the truth and get your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, national award-winning investor of the year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Wamsley.
Welcome to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Wamsley, and as always, we're working on your financial future. My friends, I'm sitting around today. Actually, I started thinking about this a little bit yesterday and formulated the idea of how I could propose this theory on the radio today. And really what the theory is that we have been educated out of success. That's right. Our public education systems have trained us not to be successful. And they've really taken away all of our ability for critical thinking whatsoever. And I put on top of that a second supposition, and that is that we've been trained into believing this lie that, you know, you go to school and that's going to make everything happen. You're going to get a good job. You're going to make a lot of money. You're going to save that money and you're going to have lots of money for retirement. And you always see the picture of the old couple in the white clothes walking down the beach, you know, beautiful, handsome, beautiful woman, handsome man, you know, perfect hair, beautiful people, not 300-pound fat slobs, you know, in stupid outfits that they, you know, with ear piercings and tattoos or whatever, goofy-looking shoes on. These, you know, these people look perfect. And you think, how did we get sold that dream? Where did that, let's say, stereotype come from? Or even better yet, if you want to get more aggressive, who brainwashed us into believing that was something I started to think about. And then another side thought hit me, and I wanted to be able to bring this in together, and I can't really tie them together, but they seem to go together, is that because we believe that brainwash, we spent all of our teens and 20s going to school and missed out on all the economic opportunity that's out there. During those times, I mean, there was massive economic opportunity. Things, you know, the stock market went from 1,000 to 3,000, 4,000 during that period. Real estate went from houses costing $10,000, $20,000 a house to costing $50,000, $60,000 a house. I remember back when I was in my 30s, early 30s, and I started buying real estate, I was buying houses for $25,000 a piece, which was three-bedroom, two-bath, two-car garage houses, anywhere from 1,200 to 1,500 square feet. Now, remember those numbers when I fast-forward you to the rest of the story today, because this is a long, drawn-out story that you're going to have to listen to the whole thing to get all the insights that are going to come out of it. So if you can't get them all, remember, you can pick up everything in my podcast just by going to the Lifestyles Unlimited podcast, or you can go to the Del Wamsley Radio Show podcast section. They're located two or three different places you can pick them up. And you can get the whole show if you don't have time to hang in there as you're driving somewhere right now. I understand that. But as I look at this thing and I say, okay, we didn't make any money during our 20s. Now, I did. I worked during my 20s, and I made a lot of money relative to being a 20-year-old kid is what I would say a lot of money. You know, I don't know how much you would consider a lot, but way back then, let's say 30, 40 years ago, I was making anywhere between $50,000 and $70,000 a year as a kid. That's pretty good, I think. I'm not sure. There might have been people making a lot more, but, you know, I didn't have a college education. I didn't have a college degree. And I was making pretty sizable money, considering that I didn't really have any overhead as a kid. I was able to save quite a bit of money, and I saved up what I would consider quite a bit of money, $100,000, $200,000, somewhere in that range. I can't remember exactly. Again, it's very hard for me to think back that far because I don't really care. And revisionist history is something everybody makes up anyway, so. But the reality is I had some money, not a lot, but to me it felt like I was pretty comfortable until I lost it all in the stock market. And I'd say all, and it wasn't all of it, but it was a good portion of it. It was a good bite. And then I started buying houses in my 30s at $25,000 a house, and I did that all the way up until houses got to $50,000 per house. And when I was buying them at 25, it was because they were on sale from 50. So the median price was 50, but we could buy stuff in foreclosure at 25. When it got back up to 50, I go, you know, there's probably no reason to be in real estate anymore. It's over. So I got out and didn't really engage in anything at the time. And this was only for a year, a few months to a year. I'm not sure, really. It might even not even been that long. But I decided I better go do something else. So I looked into multifamily, and I started buying small apartments. And because I could buy them cheap, I could buy them at $10,000 a unit, $8,000, $10,000. Most expensive ones I ever bought were like $13,000 a unit when I first started. I thought that was really overpaying. Eventually, I got up to $19,000 a door, and then I knew I was overpaying. And those same properties today would sell for $50,000 or $60,000 a door. But at that time, I thought I was overpaying because I had started at, you know, $8,000, $9,000, $10,000 a door, got up to $14,000. Then I went to $19,000 was the last one I bought. And I go, man, I've really overpaid for this. And now I think about it and I think back and think, I should have bought everything I could have bought. I could have got my hands on more money. I could have syndicated more deals. I could have done, you know, stuff if I wanted to, because I just sort of took it at whatever pace I could take it at, thinking I didn't want to overextend myself or make a mistake. The problem is now that it's 30, 40 years later, all that potential wealth I could have earned, I bypassed. Now, don't get me wrong. I do well for myself, and I'm not trying to put myself down. I'm not trying to brag. I'm just trying to tell you the truth that no matter how wealthy I am right now, I bypassed enough that's pretty amazing. I could have had 10 times more than what I have. I blame that. If there's a blame, I would pencil in that I didn't want to go backwards. Rule number one, don't lose money. I'd lost money in the stock market. But I had been trained into believing that failure was a massive option. That, you know, it could happen, and I didn't want it to happen, that the markets go up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down, that could take somebody out. But I lived through all the markets going up and down and up and down and up and down, and it never took me out. In fact, it never even really hurt me. When the markets went crashing down, I was happy because I could buy stuff 50 cents on the dollar and increase the income of my portfolio. I was not scared because I did not need to sell any of my old portfolio. There was no reason to, because I was living off the cash flow, not off of a job that I had lost. And so why would I get rid of it? It was cash flowing. I had to overcome that each and every time cycled up or down. And so you go through that, and we get out there in 2008, and market crashes again. And all of a sudden, I can buy real estate at prices I was used to buying it 10, 20 years earlier. And I did buy everything I could get my hands on, or at least I didn't. I bought everything I thought was exciting enough to get my hands on, and I bypassed it again. And, you know, I bought probably 1,000 units in a year or two, when I probably should have bought 10,000 units during that year or two. But again, just a conservative, middle-class American, been trained to believe that, you know, you don't have to really go out there and kill it, just sort of get by. And I did that and ended up making millions of dollars on the stuff that I did buy. But I could have made hundreds of millions. I may actually have made tens of millions on the stuff I bought. I could have made hundreds of millions. Would have been more realistic if I would have done it at a more aggressive pace. So here I sit now and the market's back up again and people are saying, well, no need to get in now. Prices are too high. We need to let it go back down again. And then I've got other guys like Curtis Haynes is sitting here going, like, I've got, Curtis Haynes got 40 apartment complexes, 9,000 units. Unbeknownst to every other real estate guru out there in the world who says they're superstars, Curtis has $800 million worth of real estate. So for all the guys out there screaming and yelling, I'm number one, I don't know how they could be number one if Curtis has got 800,000 in real estate. I don't know how they could be number one in education since I've been doing it for 27 and a half years and they've gotten into it in just the last couple of months or so. So there's all this noise out there, right? And what I'm here to tell you and want to share with you today on today's show, it's all that noise that has kept you away from your potential wealthy position, your financial freedom, so to speak, or even take it one step further, massive wealth. You've walked away from it because of all this noise.
Now, intel from the files of Del Wamsley.
I talked to one guy. He couldn't take hearing that there's a better way. Once he listened to some of my podcast material and came back, his discussion with me was, I've got a friend that flips houses, and I'm thinking I'm going to start doing that. You know, he's a builder by trade. To him, building is easy. And I said, look, anytime you're born with a hammer in your hand, everything in life looks like a nail. The way you make money, you conceivably make money, is by building something. So how does he think he's going to get real estate? He's going to build it. He doesn't think that he's going to buy it. He was just going to build it. Then he was going to flip it. I'll just buy and rehab and flip it. Why do people think flip it? It doesn't fit any of the rules. It doesn't make you wealthier. You worked, you earned, you paid taxes. That's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to create passive streams of income.
We'll be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del will be right back with more life-changing principles in just a few minutes.
We sold one of my wife's properties and actually did a 1031 exchange, and we bought three brand new builds in Fort Worth. So right now, collectively, we have three of her inherited properties and then three properties in Fort Worth that we've done through Lifestyles.
And you turn one property into three, tripling your cash flow.
Exactly.
Yep.
Well done.
Learn to increase your cash flow. Register for the workshop at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today we're discussing a theory that I have that we have been educated out of success. And the theory is predicated on public education, which was first started in the Industrial Revolution. And the reason was all of a sudden there was a high demand for semi-skilled employees, people that could follow directions and do the same work every day and get it accurate, you know? And so they started this educational system to train employees. Now, you think about what they trained you. First of all, they trained you to fill out blank answers to questions. If X, then what happens Y? Yes or no? There's no critical thinking in any of the educational processes in reading, writing, and arithmetic, the stuff that they, you know, deem to be necessary. Science and math are wonderful things. They're great things, and they make you more productive if you're going to go out into the Industrial Revolution and produce things. And they needed these people. But what they didn't need was critical thinking. What they couldn't have was selfishness. They had to make you believe you had to follow instructions and fit in. Remember, when you're a kid, being in those lines to go to the bathroom, line up in the hall, line up for recess. When you got older, they did away with the lines, but they still had the same mental approach to the bell rings, Pavlov's dog, everybody gets up and goes to the next place, everybody sits down, everybody shuts up. Don't speak out of turn, raise your hand if you want to speak, blah, 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 blah. Nothing there about how do you stand out and be good. Taught you things like don't cheat, which in life is probably the best way to learn things. If somebody sitting right next to you knows how to do something and you don't, why don't you get the information from them, right? Henry Ford had a guy one time come in and interview him, and the guy said, you know, I don't know how you got to be so rich. You're not that smart. And Henry Ford goes, I don't need to be that smart. He says, I've got all these buttons on my desk, and anything that I need answered, I could push a button, and a guy who is the smartest in the world will come in here and answer that question about that topic. And that's what entrepreneurs learn. They learn they don't have to know everything. You don't have to take every class and learn every topic. You just have to learn how to get people that know how to do it to go to work for you and work for you to accomplish your goal. And that's what these people were trained into. There's an old saying somewhere, and I don't know what it is. It says that all the people who graduated with A's end up being the scientists, the doctors, and the engineers. All the guys that graduate with B's end up being the managers and in charge of the businesses. but the people that grow up with C's end up being the owners of the businesses because they're not spending all their time focusing on this idea that you've got to be able to replicate the same exact answer, the same exact widget, the same exact everything over and over and over again, blindly following the plan. And so they took that and they trained us to believe that our life was go to school, get a job, save your money, 401k, IRA, and retire at age 65, but it failed. I'm lucky I didn't follow their plan, but there are thousands, tens of thousands of people my age I meet every day that don't have a plan. They're going to continue to work. I talked to a guy yesterday on the radio, in fact, and he said, up until I came to Lifestyles, my plan was that I was going to work for the rest of my life. I basically saw no other way I could retire except to work for the rest of my life. And, you know, you hear this and you see this stuff, it blows your mind. So somebody sent me an article that I thought was rather interesting, and I just wanted to play off of it a little bit. And the article says, Americans' middle class is slowly being wiped out. Now, that sounds like a good generalized article, right? But it really isn't. It really comes down to the guy about the fact people can't afford to be teachers anymore. And it's like 18 pages of all of the problems teachers are having trying to make ends meet. But as I thought about this, I thought, okay, let's just use the first page. Let them set the table of the problem. And I thought, let me, someone who doesn't think inside of the box, solve the problem they don't want to solve. So it goes on and says, after spending his day teaching American history and economics at the public Live Oak High School in San Jose, California, Matt Berry drives for Uber. All right, and let me see if I can give credit to whoever the heck wrote this stupid article. This is called Watch. That's the website. It's Wall Street Journal, co-inform shell company to pay off Playboy model. Oh, that's just another side thing. So I guess it's just called Watch. And it goes on and says, so here he is. He's a history teacher, economics teacher by day, and he drives Uber by night. Barry's wife, Nicole, teaches as well. They each earn $69,000 a combined salary that not so long ago was enough to afford a comfortable family life. But due to the astronomical cost in this area, including real estate, a 1,500-square-foot starter home cost $680,000. Driving for Uber was a necessity. Teachers are killing themselves, Barry says, in Alicia Quarter's new book, Squeezed by Our Families Can't Afford America, which came out Tuesday. I shouldn't be having to drive Uber at 8 o'clock at night on weekdays. I just shut down from the mental toll, grading papers between rides and thinking what I could do instead of driving. So let's use some critical thinking on this. If you didn't believe in the nanny state, in other words, because I live in the nanny state, I grew up a liberal. I grew up in a liberal society that says everybody deserves to do what they want to do. I deserve to have as much as anybody else. Right? I deserve it. It's mine. I should be able to have it. Why don't I have it? Why can't I have it? And what are you going to do to make it possible for me to have it? Is the questions they ask. Instead of, how can I solve it? Now, I have many, many teachers that are rich. They're financially successful because they thought outside of the box, said, you know what, if I'm going to make teaching my life, which is, you know, a valiant thing to do, I've got many educators in my family, aunts, uncles, actually two uncles, two aunts were both professors, teachers, administrators. It's a valiant thing to do. But they realized that they either have to live at that level of cost or they need to produce more income. My family just actually figured out how to live at that level of cost. But other people have had to figure out how to raise their income to the point where it would be enough to supply their habit. When we come back, let's talk about some of the things people are willing or not willing to do to make ends meet and to get ahead and have a retirement. We'll be right back. The Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del will be right back with more life-changing principles in just a few minutes.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to be a part of Lifestyles Unlimited? Del Walmsley tells you what to expect when you join us for the next live online free workshop.
We've been here for 30 years. Over 30 years, we've had and or do have roughly 50,000 plus members all over the United States. We have retired tens of thousands of people, and it's just incredible what you're going to find that you're going to be in here. Not only are you going to find the greatest amount of information and education, you're going to find the people, the most open people you've ever met in your entire life.
Come meet the people at Lifestyles Unlimited who will help you change your life and empower you to stop depending on a paycheck, your 401k, IRA, or Social Security for your future. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. At the free workshop, we'll teach you the five ways to make money with real estate, cash flow, equity capture, appreciation, equity buildup, and the tax advantages. Like Dell says, we'll open our books and show you how the numbers work with both single-family and multifamily case studies. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today we've been discussing how we've been educated out of success and financial freedom. We talked about how the schools have turned us into drones and we can't think critically to solve our own problems. So I read an article about a family where both of them were teachers. They both made $69,000 a year each, and they couldn't afford to live in San Jose. And so the husband is Uber driving at night. So let's talk about this for just a second. Isn't it your responsibility to take care of yourself? And if so, they put themselves in this situation. They're living in a problem that they created themselves. Well, Del, what do you mean they created the problem? The cost of living has gone up. No. That's the cost of living is not the problem. They're the problem. See, that's what the liberals don't want you to believe. They don't want you to believe it's your problem. You created it. They want you to believe that the rich people created your problem. So let's talk about what their problem is. Number one problem is they want to live in California. 69,000 times two, that's 140,000 a year. You could live in Texas and you could live just fine. But why can't you live in California? Well, state income tax is one thing, but here's another. A 1,500 square foot home costs $680,000. Why do you want to live in a state where a house that size costs $680,000? That home in Houston costs $100,000 or less. And yet you write articles about how teachers are suffering. The problem is not teachers are suffering. The problem is no one has taught them how to supplement their income. And so if they want to do something, you know, what if I wanted to be, I just love cleaning toilets. What if that was going to be my career? What if I loved helping people out down at the shelter? That's because that's what I wanted to give back to society. I have the right to make that choice, but I do not have the right for society then to be, or for me to demand of society to allow me to live like someone who went out and got a good job, made a lot of money, or had great investments. So it is them thinking it's not their fault. It really irritates me. I know you guys are listening to this right now. You're going, oh, that's so mean. It's not mean. It's humanly normal to believe you should take care of yourself. To think otherwise is a brainwashed situation that your educational system has put you into. There is no way that a teacher produces as much value as somebody that makes $1 million a year. Somebody making $1 million a year is helping thousands and thousands of people get a product, get a service, get something of value, have a place to live. And a teacher's taking kids and teaching them math, the same thing that we do right here in our home. This week, we have our annual children come to grandma's house. And we've got all the children here and the grandchildren. So all the children are millennials. Melissa, she's Generation X, and I'm an old dude. So we've got people in the house that are 62, we got people that are 50, we got a bunch of kids that are under 35, under 34, and then we got grandkids. And it's so interesting to see how each generation believes more and more and more so they deserve everything. The babies, the kids scream and yell if they don't get their way, and you know that's how they're going to grow up. You know that's the society they're growing into, and the parents are placating it. They know no better because they've been taught punishing your kids is bad. You'll go to jail for spanking your kids. You can't, you know, punish kids anymore. You know, it takes a village to raise a kid. You can't do it by yourself. Blah, 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 blah. You're creating disaster within your own family, guys. These people solve their problem by either getting invested in real estate. Now, think about this. What if 10 years ago when they decided they wanted to be teachers, or 20 years ago when they decided they wanted to be teachers, they bought a couple rent houses? Well, those rent houses would have gone from being worth $180,000, which they were 10 years ago, to $650,000, which they are now, and they'd be multimillionaires. All they would have had to done was realize, if I'm going to be a teacher and I don't want to be poor, I've got to create streams of income. Period. But they didn't, and so now they can't make it. So now this guy writes his creepy article. So let's move on to the next article. Another one somebody sent me. Actually, I've looked it up from that same article. It was called from that Watch group again. And what it's saying is financial stability doesn't necessarily mean having a high income. And it goes on and says young Americans have struggled so much in recent years that they may not even know what being financially sound looks like. A commentator on a popular social networking site, Reddit, asked following members, what exactly does financially sound mean? It just started working, and I don't know if I'll ever reach that point. Saving is no doubt harder with low income, but even people aren't wealthy. Young people in their 20s and 30s can financially stable if they focus on saving rather than spending. Said somebody, Pona Nonis, attorney from Financial Planner based in Washington, D.C. For people who receive a raise or a bonus at work, for instance, she shrugged, saving half of it or more, it would get you the habit of living on less than you make, and you continue to improve your financial situation or something like that. It goes on and says, what are the three things you should ask yourself? Number one, do I spend all my salary every month? Number two, do I have 6 months' worth of expenses in emergency savings fund? And number three, where's number three at? Do I have retirement savings? You got cut off the end of the page. Do I have a retirement savings? So if you look at what they're asking them, do I spend every penny of what I make? I came up with three questions you should ask yourself. Are you saving at least 25 to 50% of what you earn? You go, Dell, that's insane. You can't do that. Okay, look, I got kids living right here. They lived with us up until they were in their late 20s. In fact, one of the kids still lives with her dad. And she's in her, late 20s. You're living at home. You have no bills. Right? You have a job. She has a job. She makes good money. And she saves quite a bit of it. She's got quite a bit of money saved up. She doesn't want to admit it because she's embarrassed that none of her other friends have any money because they spend every dime they make. When you're in that situation, no matter where you are in life, you start somewhere where you have very little overhead. If you don't raise your overhead, that first paycheck you get is 100% more than what you had the day before. you could start with a 50% savings plan right then. Easily. Just like the guy saying, if you get a raise, that raise isn't, you don't have it right now, you could save half of that raise. If you can only afford 25%, as you go out and buy assets and they start to increase income that's passive, it's on the outside of what you have, right? You need none of that because you had none of it. So every dime of what you earn passively should be saved. So now you've got, you're saving 25% of your paycheck and every dime of what you make passively. Now of your total net worth, you're saving closer to 50%. With that kind of ratio and with reinvestments, you're going to be a millionaire in no time at all. Second question you ask yourself is, how much passive income did I earn last year? How much more am I going to earn this year? The amount of passive income blows my mind when I ask people, okay, everybody in the room, please write down how much passive income you have. And they all just look at me like blank, like, duh, I don't have any. How do you have no passive income? Where in the world can 95% of the people in this country not have passive income? What were your parents thinking? The last one I'd ask you is, for the other 5% or 10% in the room that do have passive income, what is your passive income earning you percentage-wise last year? And what we found is the average person earns less than 1% a year, but the really invested people, the people that are really out there hustling, they're usually making 5 or 6% or less. So in other words, they're not out there making the 100% return, the 50% return, the 40% return. They're not managing their savings and retirement accounts. They're just saving it. And it's earning very little return. Even though they're doing the other two things right, they're saving, right? You know, they're working, they're earning, they're saving. They're not managing the returns. And the returns that people are seeing when they do this test in my class are so low, it's frightening. Less than 1% for most people, not more than 5% for the really go-getters. We'll take a short break. Be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del will be right back with more life-changing principles in just a few minutes.
Everyone is asking, is it still a good time to invest in real estate?
We see no indication that for the foreseeable future, and even the unforeseeable future, no indication whatsoever that real estate is suddenly not going to be the best vehicle for creating wealth and passive income for your family. And so that would say that now is the time to get in. And we very rarely talk about this because we talk about cash flow. But now we're talking a little bit about capital gains and what the future brings in that property. Because it's real. At the end of the day, you have all your cash flow, but you've got this nice capital gain when you sell. And the inflation that we see and the reasons for it are going to continue. And we're going to see great capital gains at the end of the line when we sell these properties.
Get in on the next free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today we're talking about how you've been educated out of success. You have been brainwashed into mediocrity, and that you no longer have any ability to do critical thinking, to think outside of the box and figure out things for yourself in a manner that would allow you to become financially successful and financially free. So the third article I'm going to bring up, it says almost 70% of millennials regret buying their homes. Here's why. And it goes on and talks about the fact that millennials are really upset about owning their home. But first of all, it talks about the number of millennials that own their home. And it says right now, 42% of millennials own their home, 46% rent, and 11% stay with their parents, 1% stays with a friend. And these millennials decided that they made some really bad mistakes in buying a home. 70% of them feel like they've made a very bad mistake in purchasing their home. So let's talk about the mistakes they felt that they made and let's talk about why they made them. The number one mistake they feel like they made is they feel like they put too much down on their personal residence. Now, that's a very logical thing to figure out after you do it. But in the beginning, every pundit you run into, your mother, your father, your cousin, your attorney, your CPA, your doctor, your financial planner, all are going to tell you, put as much down as you possibly can to get your payments as low as you can and to get this thing paid off as quickly as you can. And what they do is they end up creating a cash-poor environment. And secondly, they create an environment where they have no income. And they can never get back that money that they've saved, their life savings, to put down on a rent or on a house. What should they have done? Two things completely differently. And only someone that actually understands life, money, finances, which is none of the people I just mentioned. I guarantee you no financial planner out there is smart enough to understand this. What they should have done was taken all of that money they put down and bought rental income. So now they have more income to pay the mortgage note with. And they have three or four times the assets working for them. Number two, an owner-occupant can get into a home for zero down. So they can still have a home. So you've now got the asset of your personal residence accumulating appreciation. Mortgage pay down, all the benefits, tax benefits, which have been taken away, by the way, to some extent. Then you also have these rental properties. And for, you know, $600,000 house that these guys were talking about, if they put 20% down, which would be the typical down payment, you know, God, I can't even do that math. That's just so insane. It blows my mind. Let's see, $680,000 house. 10% down would be $68,000. You could have gone out and bought four rent houses with that. 20% down would be $130,000. You could have bought, you know, eight rent houses with that. Think of if they put 20% down, they could have bought eight rent houses, made $500 a house, and be making $4,000 a month more cash flow towards that mortgage payment or towards just their life, for that matter. He wouldn't need to drive Uber if he made $48,000 a year tax-free by his rental properties. Remember, tax-free $48,000 is equivalent to that $69,000 they both earned by having jobs. So they're insane to put that money down on a house. It's just insanity. Now, guys sent me an email the other day. He goes, all you do is yell at people. I yell at you because you're not listening. You're not paying attention. As the successful people in this world get wealthier and wealthier and wealthier, and you're seeing that the smart people in our society, our educated people, educated in finance, are getting wealthier every single day, year, month, whatever, and the middle class is gone. That's what they're saying. The middle class is gone. Second thing about owning a home is they buy too large a home. We've all been taught our entire lives, buy the largest home you can possibly afford, right? Because then over 30 years you'll pay it off and it'll be your largest asset. Wow, dumb as a rock. You're now house poor. You can't afford the payments. And the second largest thing that they're complaining about is not the payments. They knew what the payments were going to be. It's the upkeep and maintenance. The reason 46% of millennials live or rent in an apartment is because when they call the apartment for maintenance, there's a maintenance guy to come fix stuff. I just got off the phone with another person in my neighborhood, and we're sitting here fighting with the landscape crews that have been doing our neighborhood for a year. They just tripled the cost of landscaping. The cost of my landscaping on my house is more than most people pay for their personal home residence mortgage payment and automobile payments each month. That's my landscaping. And yet, what happened was, and that's because they just tripled it, okay? It wasn't that much before, but they just tripled that. And so a couple of the neighbors, all of which are wealthy, to live in this neighborhood, you have to be smart enough to be wealthy enough to live here, right? Got together and said, this is insane. These people don't know what they're doing. And so we all go out and look for some way to solve the problem. But really, the real problem is what my dad taught me a long time ago when I was a kid. And that is this. It's not what it costs to buy it. It's what it costs to maintain it. And if you go out there and buy yourself a home before you're financially able and capable to take care of it, then you are dooming yourself to financial disaster the rest of your life. Yes, my friends, we have been educated into poverty. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Radio show, teaching you the opposite of everything you've been taught so you can obtain the results you've never obtained. Join us 7 days a week. Can't get enough? Visit DellOnTheRadio.com to listen to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Access past show podcasts and join the conversation.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Wamsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Wamsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Wamsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Wamsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.